And listen, we're going to go back to the book of James. We've the couple times I've been here, we've been in the book of James, and so we're going to continue in the Sunday school hour through the book of James. And want to just you know, when you go through a book of the Bible, you sometimes can digest the whole context and the whole principles of what's going on there instead of kind of just a piece here and there. And so we're going to continue that. And for those that weren't here for the other two times, go back and watch it online. How about that? Otherwise, we'll just get caught up here. James chapter 1, verse 1. Bible says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. Now drop down to verse 12. We've covered most of that up there already. So down to verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. Let's pray together and we'll get started here in this morning. Father, we're thankful, Lord, for the time that we can be gathered together. Thankful for Your people that are here this morning. Lord, I pray that You might come and meet with us now. Lord, pray that You would stir our spirits through Your Word. Lord, pray that Your Word might be give us truth, give us something that we can grab a hold on and live by and to understand and know You and Your desire and Your will for us. And Lord, pray that You would lead, guide, and direct in this day. Lord, we're going to give You the honor. We're going to give You the praise for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we talked about in the past that the joy isn't the actual trial. Okay? In other words, when Paul says there, here I'm talking about James, Paul said the same thing, but here, when he says in verse 2, I count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, he's not really saying that the joy is the trial itself, but it's what the trial brings to our life, right? Does it make sense to everyone? We get that. It's not just, wow, this is exciting. Life is difficult. No, we want grace, right? We talked about that. I don't know if I have a hold of my head. I'm not wanting to put one there. But I got enough holes already. But when this situation of challenges and difficulties in our life, you know, we don't sit there and say, man, I am glad that I need another surgery. Right? Isn't it a blessing when you can't hardly walk or you can't move your arm? I mean, you know, there's pain. Nobody says, this makes me so happy, full of joy. No, that's not really what he's saying. It can sometimes see that way, but it's the concept of what it's going to bring. And we find what it's going to bring, we find there in verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he has tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love Him. There's not only do we get joy from what's going to be coming, but this crown of life. And so we find here in this passage these two words used interchangeably. Temptations and trials. They're used interchangeably. It kind of has the same idea. It's dealing with the same situations. But there are some differences here. Also, the challenges of life, difficulties and situations that come up. You ever have those? Just me. All right. No, we do. We do, right? These difficulties, these challenges, these different situations. Sometimes it's not really extremely bad. It's just an awkward situation. And how do we deal with this? And I'm not sure what to do with this. And you ever have maybe a confrontation with somebody? You're not just sure how to. Does anybody here love confrontation? Just want to figure you out right away. No, I mean, if you like confrontation, something's wrong with you. Really, I'm just saying, I mean, you know, but some are like morbidly afraid of confrontation. Like to the point of, I won't confront anybody at all and I'll just flee. Right? So there's kind of but these situations come, and sometimes it's a small thing. You know, you ever said something to somebody that, and later on, we've all done that. You've walked away and thought, man, maybe I shouldn't have said that. Did I say that right? And you just sit there fretting over it. You're thinking about, did I say that? Did they think this? I've had people come to me and say, you know, Pastor, I said this, but I'm like, that's fine. I didn't realize. Okay, you're forgiven. You know what I mean? And this kind of thing, people get that. And so sometimes these trials or these things aren't huge, but we make them. We make a mountain out of a molehill. I don't know a lot about molehills, but I know we do make some huge things out of things at times. So we understand these things as the trying of our faith. And really, when we talk about the trying of our faith, what we mean is this. It causes us to see, am I going to trust the Lord? Am I going to trust what God's doing? And this trying of our faith is the situation comes, can I trust God in that situation? You see what I'm saying? Can I trust Him in this environment with this small thing? It's like, you know, I don't want to kind of beat this thing up a little bit, but it is the thing. People, a situation comes and says, I don't know how to deal with that. I'm not sure I want to deal with that, and I'm just going to flee right from that because I don't want to deal with it, and I don't want to deal with, maybe it's a small thing, but instead, and so sometimes I've been to people's house business, they left the church and hadn't been, I said, hey, you know, what's going on? Well, you know, this thing, and you're expecting, as a pastor, you're expecting this huge, like, thing happened. You're like, what happened? They're like, well, this. You're like, and what else? No, that was it. Okay, you almost kind of like a little relieved of that. Okay, I thought it was something like sin or some great thing. So you think somebody got hurt and you got hurt. They really, you know, and it's a small thing. But really for us, when we're the ones in it, it can seem like a big thing, can it? Some of this kind of stuff. And so, and we see that it's the trust. Am I going to trust God and say, you know what, I this is awkward. I don't like it. It's uncomfortable. But I'm going to trust God anyway. See, this is where it's talking about the trying of our faith. But then we must realize that temptations are also a trying of our faith. You see, it's another form of trying of our faith. And so we find then these temptations in life. And we find here in verse 12, he says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Okay, so I want us to think about this and talk about this for a bit today. So number one point this morning is the temptations in life. So the first thing I want us to see and to clearly understand in this trying of our faith through temptation, we're talking about through temptation, is where they come from, right? The God, listen here, I want to say this, and so we really, really grab this thought this morning is this. God does not ever tempt us to sin, okay? God is never going to use sin and a temptation to sin as a technique that he's going to use to try to grow our faith. Okay? Listen, God hates sin. Amen? Amen. All right? God, he despises it. He does not want us to sin. My little children, sin not. Right? He does not try to get us to sin to see if we will. Right? God doesn't put something in front of us to see if they sin that way, right? And then when they do, and then when we do, God says, your faith is no. That's not who God is. We get that this morning. Hope we really, really get that, because sometimes we kind of slip into thinking God is using this thing, and we can kind of get this idea that there's this situation. Well, I failed this time, but God is trying. No. God does not try us with sin. God tries us with challenges, Right? He tries us with challenges, and we talked about that thing, this, the trying of our faith. Am I going to trust Him? But there's a difference between, am I going to trust Him to do this thing that's before me, listen, that's going to cause me to serve Him. It's going to cause me to live like Him. It's going to cause me to forgive somebody. Right? But He's not going to do something that says, am I going to, you know, drink some intoxicating beverage or smoke something or do something? God's not going to put us in a place to, He's not going to tempt us with telling a lie. Let's see if they lie. No, we understand that together this morning. I want us to really see what He says. God does not work that way. God hates that. By the way, this is a really terrible way to train others. To set them up to do wrong to see if they will. Right? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave the door unlocked and leave a $20 bill on the table and see if anybody comes and takes it. And we got a camera on them. Right? Listen, if God doesn't do that kind of thing, we shouldn't either. We shouldn't do that either. You understand? We want to be like Him, not like us. We're already like us. Right, we got to get rid of that. That old man hangs on for dear life, and we want to be like him and not like us. Listen, we do not develop trust in our children or our spouse or our coworker by tempting them to do wrong and hoping they don't. Right? You see what I'm saying? That's not how we develop trust. Well, I just need to see if I could trust you, so I'm going to put some situation out there to see if I could trust you. Like I'm going to put my piece of cake out there on the table and see if you eat it. No, that's stealing from me. That's my cake, right? Y'all understand what I'm saying? Y'all don't understand cake well enough. Okay, so listen, we don't do this kind of thing. God doesn't do that, and we ought not to do that either. Listen, let us not think for a moment that's how God works in our lives, that He tempts us to sin. God will never use evil to do good. Right? Let that just sink in a little bit. Let's focus on that. He'll never use evil to do good. So then, where does the temptation to sin come from? It doesn't come from God. He's not tempting us to sin. Never does. He doesn't tempt to sin. He's not tempted with sin, and neither does He use it. So, well, it obviously comes from the devil, right? The horned guy, tail, pitchfork, that guy. I mean, I've seen a lot of people, you know, I mean, not a lot, but, you know, there's pictures. A lot of people this past Halloween, they wanted. Now I've seen videos. Now they have Satan clubs in schools now. Yeah. I've seen this picture of this Satan club. Satan, I can't remember what it is. Satan club, and they all look like what you'd expect them to look like. I thought, you know what? Can I just say something right here? Just a little side note. You know, when I seen those folks, everyone in that picture. This is a huge group of like 8 people. You know. And I thought, man, you know, they all look like misfits. They all look like people. They didn't fit in anywhere. They didn't have a group of people. And they were looking for somewhere to belong. And I thought, what if we got the gospel to them and reached out to them and said, the Lord loves you and there's a place to belong in the family of God. Maybe they're Satan clubs because, yeah, I don't know. I don't want to get into that. But I'm just saying there's some of these guys. Listen, so the devil gets a lot of credit for all the sin. Now, he hates God's people, and he wants us to sin. This is for sure. But a lot of it comes from, a lot of this temptation comes from the world and all of its evils. You know, you drive through someplace. We drove through Las Vegas one time. And you drive, you kind of have to block your eyes from the billboards. You know what I mean? It's, you know, and then you switch to the, I mean, it's just, I thought, wow, could you imagine raising a family there? And there's things, and you know, the world has a lot of evils. But it's actually quite embarrassing where the majority of our temptation comes from, actually. It's really quite embarrassing. Look at verse 14. It says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That's embarrassing, right? Isn't it? Aren't there some verses you wish weren't in there It didn't reveal how what's really going on in our heart. So I think about this at times, the apostles walking with Jesus, right? And Jesus didn't have to hear their conversation. He could just like know it. I mean, like even what they're thinking. Talk about living on edge. I mean, what great men that went knowing anything, any thought I have, the Master knows it. Man, talking about really getting serious about your thought life. I'm glad he can't do that anymore, right? He's still doing that, isn't he? Hey, listen. Hey, there's something going on here. So then what we find here is that this temptation to sin comes primarily from you. Well, the devil made me do it. Did he, though? Did he make you do it? Well, it's the world. It's so hard. Okay, that's new. The world used to be easy, right? No, listen, the challenge is we can't get away from that old man. It's living in there, and there's that thing. Listen, it's the lust that is already in us that cries out for, it reaches out for, and it desires that which is sin. Lust is really this, it's our desire. It's our desires to. But lust, as we find it depicted here, is to go beyond what God has intended for the believer. Look at verse 15. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So we find the process, this process of sin. So it goes from, first of all, from lust in our heart is really, really just desiring what God has forbidden from us. Why do we want that thing that we shouldn't have? Right? And why is it that there's something there? You know, you want to get a kid to be interested in something, tell them they can't have it. You know, why is it that we could tell somebody, listen, you can eat anything you want of any tree, but just that one over there, you can't have that one. You can have anything else, just not that one. Oh, what is that? I don't know how long, we don't know the time periods and all that before that, how long it took them, but maybe it was days, weeks, months, years, I don't know. But then, you know, Eve goes over there and says, huh. I particularly think it probably wasn't very long. I don't know. We'll find out one day. Or maybe we won't care if we get to heaven. You know, it'll be over. Let's let that sin go behind us. And so listen, all that, you can have anything in the whole world. You can have it except for that one thing. And all of a sudden there's a lust. I want what I can't have. That's something. That's something how God would say, you know what, I want to give you the world, but there's some things in the world that you can't have. Right? By the way, some of the things that God doesn't want us to have aren't really even that bad for us. Now listen to me. It's not necessary. Well, that doesn't really affect me like it affects other people. So, you see, sometimes God says, I don't want you to have something because I want you to not have something. I want you to just make a choice to live by faith and just trust me. And so, there's some things I want to stay away from. God says, stay away from that. But our heart, that begins, though, our heart says, I want it. Maybe our heart begins by saying, why can't I have it? Right? And we want, so it goes from that, lust in our heart to the temptation to act upon that lust. Now, I think this is where the devil gets involved here, right? There's already something in us. And the devil then begins to draw us to that thing. Listen, probably I'm not going to be tempted to go shoot up some heroin. I mean, nobody would tempt me at that. And I would be like, oh man, I really want to. No, somebody do that, I'm like, no, I don't want anything to do it. Somebody's not going to bring a bottle of whiskey or somebody's going to have me do some kind of crazy thing that I would never be interested in, because you know what, that lust isn't in me. And so the things that I'm going to be tempted with are the things that lust that's already in my heart, you know, like too many pieces of chocolate cake, right? There's other things. I'm just trying to, you know, I don't want you to know too much about me. listen, by the way, there's things in your life that the world and Satan is going to tempt you with because it's in your heart. And you know, the two of us could be in the... I had a friend that when I got saved, he was there. He was him and his wife. They discipled my wife and I, and they were. It was a great relationship. And we listened to this Christian comedian. I thought it was funny. I thought this. And he said, "Yeah, I don't really like stand up comedy. I don't like Christian comedy." I thought, "Well, you're boring." No, I didn't say. But I thought, "Wonder." And I thought, "Why?" What he said, "You know, before I got saved, I was a stand-up comedian." And I thought, okay. And he said when he thought about that, he thought about that life and it caused him. You know, I don't know. Listen, so my point is just there's some different things. You understand? But that lust that's already in us, that there begins a temptation based on that lust that's in you individually. And it brings sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. So, from the lust that's in me, ends with death. Can I just say this? This is not something that God would do to you and I to build our faith. Something that leads in death. Right? Makes sense? Listen, making mistakes, right? If I make some mistakes, it can help us to get better. Right? Like perfecting a skill or communication. You know, you've ever had that, you're having a conversation with somebody and you say something and they give that face of like, oh, and you're like, ooh, don't do that one again, right? You know what I mean? Or you ever see, some people like, so I spent time in Asia. You know, we spend a lot of time in Asia and they don't even understand the thing of personal space. It doesn't even, they don't even know there's a such thing as personal space. They live crowded often. And so some people like to stand like right here. You know what I mean? And then you back up and they, you know, you just, you know, we started a conversation here. We ended it over here, you know. And some folks, they'll see that and say, oh, okay, when I do that, they're backing up. I don't want, can I just say, if we're close enough that I could smell your breath, we're too close. Even if you have a mint. I'm just saying, that's just me. But in Asia where I lived, I had to really get over that because when I would back off, they were like, they thought something's wrong. So they'd back, and I thought, you know what? So I had to learn in that culture. I had to just endure it a little bit. You know what I'm saying? I had to just realize because when I would do that, they'd kind of have. So listen, there's some things we make mistakes and some things that we do that can help us to get better at it. We do a skill and we do something and we fail or hurt ourselves. We realize, I'm going to get better. But listen, sinning isn't like that. Sinning doesn't cause us to get better. Well, I sinned this time, right? I'm going to get better at it. No. Sin leads to death. Okay, so listen, therefore, do not think that if you fall into sin this time, it'll be easier next time to resist the temptation. No, that's not really how it works. That's not how it works at all. Listen. I want to just say it this way. God has a plan. God has a way. Right? God has a way that He does things. And God's way is right. His way is perfect. His way is what we need. And so you know what we want? What we need to do is we need to get His way. We need to realize His way. And really, to the best of our ability, let our mind be in Christ, right? Let us be conformed into, or rather, let us be transformed into His image, right? Let us find the way God thinks and let's do it that way. Because thinking that I can dabble with sin, and if I fail, well, next time I won't do that again. When sin leads to death, and I'm not necessarily saying you're dead and physically or even spiritually dead, we don't lose our salvation, but there does come something that eats up something in us. And so by coming to a place that I won't do that again. Listen, that's why we don't walk the line, right? We don't see how close we can get. No, I'm good over here. I'm kind of doing a balancing act, right? No, I'm good here. Well, okay, you're there, but is that really, you know, I just want to see how close I can get. I'm okay yet. Listen, God doesn't tempt us with sin to help us grow in faith. It just doesn't work that way. Look at verse 16 now. He says, "Do not err, my beloved brethren." Don't get these things mixed up. God doesn't use those things. And so it takes us to the second point I want to say this morning. The blessings in life. The blessings in life. Verse 17. He says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning." God is bringing us that which is profitable. Okay? Listen, here's what can happen sometimes. We can take a piece of Scripture right here, and we can preach something out of it, or we can get this thought out of it, and we're like, wow, God's good. But I want us to keep it connected. What are we talking about? We're talking about what James is teaching about these things of trials and temptations. You see, what God's doing in our life, God's using those things to bring us something profitable. So there's a gift. There's a blessing in the trying of our faith. See, that's what we're going to find here. It is what God is bringing us into and through so that we can know, really here it is, that we can know both ourselves and we can know God. So here's what I mean by that. We get to know ourselves when we see the level of faith that we thought we had begin to waver. See, here's what happens. We think we're more spiritual than we are. Usually. I also went to a barber. I knew you're like, really? What a waste of money. Maybe. But I went to a barber here just yesterday, to a lady right down here, and she began telling me, she said, "Yeah, I don't go to church." And, you know, I think she, you know, she found out and said, "Well, you know what, you moved." I said, "I moved to town." I try to tell people I try to make a conversation so people would get to talk about spiritual things. Said, "You know," said, "I've just moved to town." "Oh, really? What are you here for? A job at the space?" "No, I don't. I'm stay out of space. I'm in time, you know." Anyway, so I began to tell her about this and she said, "Oh," so I don't go to church. I just don't even respond. She wants me to respond. "Well, you really?" "No, I just said, I don't go to church, you know." But she said, "You know, I just don't go. I've never gone to church, you know, this one, that, go to church." She started, you know, isn't it funny how folk want to defend their position? "I'm not even arguing with you. You just, you know," and she just, it's a one-sided argument with herself, and, you know, she's arguing against where it's almost kind of fun to watch, you know. They know they're wrong, but I'm going to argue why they think I'm going to tell them they're wrong, and they just listen. And then she said, "But you know what?" Said, I'm a Christian. I know I'm going to heaven. I've got a good relationship with God." That would be like me saying, "My wife and I have a good relationship. I just never go home. I just don't go home and I'm never there. But no, we have a great relationship. It's fine. Perfect. I don't go home. I don't live with her. I just, you know." You'd say, "Well, that sounds right." See, we always kind of underestimate our spirituality. By the way, when I say we, I mean us here. Us. We think we always think. And so God puts us in a place that really tries to reveal our faith to us. And where time comes, and I'm telling you, I get surprised with people a lot. A situation comes up, and somebody, you think, "Man, that's a good Christian. They're in church. They come to Sunday school, right? They come to Wednesday night service." You know, I'm just saying, they're as faithful as a Christian. You think, man, and then you talk, you get here and talking about something or a situation comes, and they respond in the flesh. And I tell you, there's people that I've met, and I thought, wow, I didn't expect that. You know, from what I've seen on the surface, you know what God's trying to do? He's trying to reveal that to us. When I respond in the flesh, God wants to show me you still got some work to do, buddy. Right? And so one thing that God's trying to do when these gifts that He's bringing, He's trying to reveal to us that you know what, really, there's a better relationship with God than what we currently have. And that's a great thing. You ever just felt like, wow, this is great. God and I, wow, I just love this life in Christ. And then something happens and you grow further. You're like, wow, I thought that was great. Now it's, and then you're there. You're like, you're kind of like on cloud 9. And then you realize there's like a cloud 8. You know what I'm saying? And you're like, wow. And then you find out about prayer. And you really get a hold of that thing. And then you're thinking, man, I'm so glad I didn't rest back there. Right? This is what God's trying to do for you and I. He's trying to help us and bring a gift there. But then, so we don't not only see ourselves, but then we see God. And so we get to know Him when we endure the trial. And we see God's answer that is so much greater than our own answer. Right? So we're thinking, man, I got this thing figured out. I've got this idea, this trial. So we said, but Lord, I'm going to wait on You. And God does something that you could have never imagined. Right? And He does something really exciting. And He meets the need in a way that you can't help but give Him the glory. And there's nothing more exciting than saying, oh, God did that. You know, when we were up in Pennsylvania, we left the mission field. We weren't sure what God's plan for us was. We had to leave. The field had closed. We were there for a couple of years. It couldn't get back in for a couple of years, so we stayed there. And we thought, well, let's buy a house. You know, we hadn't lived in the States for many years on a permanent basis, so we hadn't owned a house for many, many years. So let's buy a house. So we started looking at houses, and it was the perfect time in the market. No, it wasn't. It was the worst. But we thought, you know, we'll just... And so we looked at houses, and we looked at a bunch that weren't worth looking at. And then we found one, and we thought, oh, let's put an offer on it. And the real estate agent said, you got to put a good offer, because, you know, this... So we put a full-price offer. And I think that one, there was like 25 offers. Yeah. Needless to say, we didn't get that house. And then we did another one and another one. I think, was it six? Six places we actually put in an offer. And we went higher and higher and higher over the listing price. I'm saying we just kept going, right? And you know, but we're the mind that said, listen, if we put an offer in, if it doesn't come, that's all right. It's the Lord knows, and so we're okay with that. And we found a house that I'm telling you, we loved this house. It was the perfect house for us. And it was way at the very tip of our budget. I thought, we couldn't get anything else. I thought maybe get up here, and I was going to raise the girls' rent, and... we were going to get in there, and I thought, this is going to be great. You think I'm kidding? And so and I thought, this is going to be great. We put our offer in, and the real estate agent said, you're winning it. You got it. And they said, they're not up till midnight, they're taking offers. After that, it's over. This is like 9 o'clock. Whew. We're excited, right? The next day, I don't know, 9 o'clock in the morning, the real estate agent said, yeah. Somebody came in the morning and put an offer above yours, and so they gave it to them. We were so happy. No, I tell you, we were mad. We were ticked off. Like, that ain't right. You said midnight, you changed the rules. Ah, I tell you, we were just... And then we thought, well, okay, the Lord knows. And can I tell you, we came down here. We were here that a few weeks ago. We looked around, we thought, I don't know, we'll just at least kind of find, look around. You know what I'm saying? Just kind of look around, and maybe we could kind of see that, you know, we found a house we really liked, need some work, but we thought, this would be a good house. We said, you know, we're going to, and I said, let's just kind of put a low, ask them to cover the closing costs, you know. I know it's kind of ridiculous. I said, can we even do that nowadays? She said, well, we could try. And then we're talking to my wife, and I said, we should put it at this. And my wife said, well, let's go lower than that. So, you know, they could come back, and I thought, okay, So we actually came $20,000 underneath their asking price. And I thought, well, they're going to come back, and we can kind of, you know. And I bet I was willing to pay more than their asking price. Can we cut that off the tape? No. And I thought, you know, and it comes back, and we're sitting there, and the realtor comes back and said, they accepted your offer. And I thought that's not what we can do. Do you know what I'm saying? It gets so exciting when you see God. That's not, you know what I'm saying? That's not something we can do. You say, well, that could have happened to anybody. Maybe. But, you know, I'm just going to give the glory to the Lord and say, you know, God does those things in our life. And listen, God is trying to help us so that we can see Him. And He takes us through these things. And you go there and you see this, and God does something, and you're like, wow, isn't it good to be saved? And you know, and then you know what you realize? There's another cloud. Right? There's another relationship with Him. This is what He's trying to do. Look at verse 18 now. He says, and of His own will begat He us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creatures. So God has brought us forth to life. He is the Father of lights, the creator of this world that we indwell. Listen, here's what He's saying. He's it. He's the creator. He's the Father. He is the one that created this whole thing that we're living in. Right? He has so much more for us. So much more than we have for ourselves. Right? He's got a better plan for you than you have for you. Yeah, but my plan is really sweet. I really like this plan. Imagine how much you like the plan that you have for you and realize God has one better. Now, this thing doesn't like me. Taking that up for a minute. Okay. I don't know if it bothers you, but it's like every time it scares me. Okay. Is that the rapture? Okay. I got a message to finish. No. He has so much more for us than we have for ourselves, and so much than this world could ever provide, could ever do, and we could get this idea. Here's the thing. We say amen. Right? We say amen. I know God has a better plan for me. And then we kind of do everything we can to work out our plan. Isn't that something? It's our human nature. So what we need to do then is we need to really grab a hold of what worldview we're following. And that's not a one-time deal. Do you know what I'm saying? It's not a one-time, man, I got this. Man, I'm glad I got that figured out. It's kind of something God is doing this continually with us. You see? Listen, the point is to not get so focused on the situation that is trying our faith. Right? You get a deal comes in your life, it is like so consuming. But listen, it's not to focus so much on the situation that's trying our faith, but on God that is giving the good and perfect gifts. So here's what I'm saying. Is the situation trying us? Yeah, it is. It's a challenge. Something's going on in life. But here's the thing. We're not to get so focused on it that we lose track of that there's a God that's trying to give us doing something in our life. I got a third point, but we run out of clock. So I feel a lot better because last time there was like months between. And so now I don't feel as bad about cutting it off in the middle. I like salami sermons. You know what I mean? You just lop it off anywhere and pick it up next week. You see, we're going through a book, and so we're going to see something here. I think there's enough here for us to grab already. But I want us to get this. Listen, when something is trying you, by the way, I imagine this morning, we each have something, right? We each have something that's going on in our life right now that's something that's trying your faith. Maybe it's a health thing, right? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's economical or occupational, right? And all these things are trying and it's trying. You say, what am I? And you know, we by nature want to sit down
figure out how to accomplish that.
You know what I'd like to tell you? I never do that. But actually, I do that too. You know, I want to figure all these things. And I'm okay with making some plans, but let's let God direct our steps. And so when these things come, let's trust. This is where we're going to come to that place. Is when that situation comes, what are we going to do? Listen, don't get so focused on the situation that we lose focus on the Father that gives the gifts. Do not despise, listen, I want to say this, do not despise the situation. There is there's a gift that we're opening up. Right? God's given us a gift. It's not just salvation. It's beyond it. God gives us so much more than just salvation. He's given us this gift, and He's given it to us. And let's not get so focused on the opening. Sometimes opening gifts are hard. You ever have somebody that like overtapes? You know what I'm talking about. Overtapes, and you're like, I don't even want to open this anymore. Well, no, we don't do that. But you know, you're like, what are you doing? And then you're kind of mad at him while you're opening it, but you don't stop. You know what I mean? Listen, let's focus on the gift giver. Father, I pray that you would help us this morning. Lord, I pray that you would help us to see that what you're doing in our life is for our good, for your glory. To do something to help us to know you more and reveal to us to ourselves. Lord, pray that you'd have your will and way in our hearts. Lord, take this passage from the book of James. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to develop our worldview. How you see life, Lord, help us to develop that into our lives. Lord, we might seek you first, trust you in whatever situation, the trying of our faith. Lord, we'll thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.